Ev, good to have you, my friend. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us. I know you got a lot going on.
No, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it. And yes, I am in Chicago. It was a quick turnaround getting from Lakeland to Chicago. Let me tell you, 6 weeks in Florida, and then you get back here to the Midwest, you get to Detroit, Chicago, you know, these areas here up north, and man, it's chilly, man. I got the shivers all day just standing outside, being in the dugout. But yeah, watching team work out today, they look good. They look ready to go. AJ Hinch seems like he's ready to go and ready to get after. They feel prepared to win Thursday's game. So they feel prepared to win opening day. We'll see if it ends up happening or not.
You know, you came in at a really interesting time because you've had a chance to kind of see this entirety of the AJ Hinch era that started with Al Avila, that's now transformed into the Scott Harrises of the world and coaches, whether it be guys like Chris Fetter or at the player development side, somebody like Ryan Garko. But, you know, they finally seem like they have their you-know-what together organizationally. I mean, this is an organization now that I really do believe you can stack up against just about any other in baseball. There are the elites, the Dodgers and the Tampa Bays of the world, but the Tigers have done a lot of really good work in the past year.
Yeah, I think locally we probably look at them and feel that way. Nationally, they probably haven't gotten that recognition yet, but they are well on their way to getting that national recognition. You're right. Like they do stack up in several ways. You look at the pitching department and what they did running the Dodgers model of how they were developing pitchers under Ryan Garko and Chris Fetter and Gabe Rebus and that whole group, right? They were running the Dodgers model. Then Scott Harris comes in and he adds, you know, his touch of Cubs Giants model to Dodgers model. And then you kind of form a Tigers model of how to develop pitchers. And I think that's been very impressive to watch recently. But you did mention AJ Hinch and me being around for, you know, AJ getting hired to, you know, Al on his way out to Scott now being in charge. And it really does revolve around AJ Hinch. Like, he has done so many things to progress this organization forward. I mean, there were things that he was doing from influencing the hire of Ryan Garko before Scott Harris even got here. I know a lot of people like to praise Scott Harris for, you know, being able to develop players. But don't forget about Ryan Garko. Like, Ryan Garko was developing players and setting that foundation long before Scott Harris got here. That was an Avila hire, yes, but influenced by AJ Hinch. He's had a lot of influence on this organization. He's got a good relationship with Christopher Ilitch. There's no one better to be leading this team than AJ Hinch because he has his fingerprints all over every part of the organization. You can't forget, this is a guy who has worked in the front offices before. He's been a player before. Obviously, he's been a manager for a very long time and a successful one as well. So he knows how to do a little bit of everything. He's got his fingerprints all over the Tigers. It's been impressive to see how far they've come over the years.
It's super funny, and it's interesting because, you know, a lot of times when a new decision maker for baseball comes in, usually one of the first things that they'll do is go hire their guy to be a manager. Well, AJ Hinch was already here. He was an incumbent. And I mean, anytime you play the go get your guy situation, it's like, well, who's a better replacement out there? And I think we all knew that AJ Hinch wasn't going anywhere, but how Scott Harris was going to work with him and how he was going to collaborate with him in a lot of ways kind of reminds you of that dynamic that the Detroit Lions have with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. But you've seen Scott Harris now for about 2 years. Where are those margins that he wins?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not around the Lions enough to be able to make that comparison, but I do hear what you're saying. I think it is interesting. Like, I think they've done a really good job, the two of them working hand in hand with how they're going to get the most out of the roster. Like, I think you go around and you ask any manager in baseball, would they rather have nine guys that they could put in their lineup every day and they're all-star caliber players? Every manager would want that, but the Tigers don't have that. Like, that's not their reality. So they have to use the plug and play, and they have to win the chess match, and that's what AJ Hinch can be really good at. Granted, he can be really good at making bullpen decisions and just letting, you know, his lineup play and having these guys be lineup locks, but they don't have that. And so I think their ability to be able to play off of each other in terms of Scott being able to go out and get what AJ Hinch needs to make things work, and then AJ being able to take what Scott is giving him and get the most out of it, that's been really impressive to me over the last year. That's something that AJ Hinch has always been able to do, but I think, you know, with him and Scott being on the same page with those things and seeing the same vision for how a lineup is supposed to look day in and day out, and maybe how it's not supposed to look. Like, what are some non-traditional ways of going about putting a lineup together? And, you know, how do we use pinch hitters in different situations, right? Like, we're going to see Andy Ibañez come off the bench a ton against left-handed relievers. Andy Bynum is on this team to do that. Zach McKinstry in the same way. There's certain right-handed hitters that he's going to come off the bench and he's going to face right-handed pitchers, specific ones, as a left-handed hitter. And so it's A.J. Hinch knowing what each guy is good at, how to get the most out of him, but then also Scott Harris knowing, hey, here's a guy that I'm going to be able to provide you with and you can work with this because you know how to get the most out of him and he fits our roster. So I think those two have done a really good job of balancing that. And it's tough when you don't have, you know, lineup locks all over the place. I mean, Riley Green is an everyday player. Spencer Torkelson is an everyday player. Javier Baez, based on the paycheck, is an everyday player. Colt Keith is probably an everyday player. I don't know if he is yet, but I think he quickly becomes one. But aside from that, you don't really have everyday players all over the lineup. Parker Meadows, everyday player, sure, but against tough left-handed pitchers, he might not always be in that lineup. So I think it's finding that balancing act, getting the most out of the margins in that way. They've done a really good job with the chess match. A lot of that goes to A.J. Hinch. But again, you got to have the right people in the room, both personalities and also skill sets. And that, you know, got to tip the cap to Scott Harris.
Evan Petzold, Detroit Free Press, at Evan Petzold on Twitter, X, his podcast, Days of Roar, is a must listen. And I mean that sincerely. We started this show by proclaiming that the Tigers are going to win the AL Central this year. Are we too far out over our skis, or does that check out to you?
I've got them at 83 wins. I hate predictions, but I've been asked to make predictions a couple of times, so I figured I'll just stick with the same thing. I got them at 83 wins, finishing second in the American League Central. I think the upside is yes, them winning the division. The upside is them winning a playoff series. I think they really do have what it takes. The pitching is really good. I think the defense, while it could be shaky, I think you got a lot of swing in this stuff, and you do have, you know, elite defenders at important positions. You have an elite shortstop in Javier Baez. You have, you know, an elite center fielder in Parker Meadows. You have Riley Green in one of the corners, basically giving you two center fielders every day. And then behind the plate, you have a catching tandem in Jake Rogers and Carson Kelly, who are both excellent defensively. So at the key positions, the Tigers do have good defenders. The pitching staff is going to be really good, I think. That goes both, you know, rotation and bullpen. The real question is, are they going to be able to hit? Are they going to be able to score enough runs? Like, it's one thing to be able to have shutdown pitching, and that's going to give them a little bit of leeway, a little bit of wiggle room as these young hitters continue to develop into their own. Right now, I'm not sold on them winning the American League Central, but I do think that if the hitters hit, if Colt Keith comes into his own, if Spencer Torkelson increases the batting average, if Riley Green stays healthy, if Kerry Carpenter stays healthy, if Colt Keith does his thing, like you look around the diamond, you say, okay, yeah, there's a lot of guys with some serious upside. If they hit on the upside, they're going to win the Central, no doubt about it. I'm just not there yet. I'm not sold yet on the fact that all these guys are going to reach their potential. But if they do, watch out.
It feels like a team that wins games 4-3 and 3-2. Last one before I let you go. I know you don't like predictions, but you've been around these guys pretty much all spring. Give us something that might take Tigers fans by surprise tomorrow once they start playing games that actually matter.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, Tigers fans. Gio Urshela is not an everyday third baseman. All right, he definitely can work his way in and he can, you know, be in that role, but when the Tigers signed Gio Urshela, a lot of people looked at that and thought, okay, Gio Urshela, he is the everyday third baseman. That's not even close to the case. I think here in Chicago, during this series, three games, we might see three different third basemen, maybe even four, but I think three for sure we're going to see throughout this series, and that's going to take people by surprise. It's not just Gio Urshela. It's not just Zach McKinstry. It's not just Andy Abania. It's not just Matt Buehrling. It's going to be a collection of all of them. Gio Urshela probably first in the pecking order to get more of the at-bats against right-handed pitchers. But again, don't fall into the trap of thinking that Gio Urshela is going to be a lineup lock every day at third base. There's a competition, and it's still ongoing. There was a competition in spring training, but that competition, just because they broke in and they've gone north, that doesn't mean that the competition is over. There's going to be a battle for who gets a lot of reps at third base. There's going to be battles for who gets high leverage, you know, roles in the bullpen. There's going to be battles for, you know, does Casey Mize stay in the rotation? Does Reese Olson stay in the rotation? Same with the bullpen with guys like Joey Wentz and Alex Fiedo when they have depth in Toledo, right? So it'll be interesting to see, but again, don't fall into the trap of thinking that Gio Urshela is an everyday third baseman because he's not yet.
It feels like the Tigers took an approach to third base the same way that my three-year-old daughter approaches the Build-A-Bear workshop. Just take different components to make something great when the dust settles. Evan Petzl, Detroit Free Press, thanks so much for joining us and have fun tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you very much, man. Take care.